Exodus chapter 14 is where we'll be starting off tonight. I want to, after we went through our calendar, I still have some of the ministries that I believe God is leading us to do and projects that I believe God is leading us to do. I'll go over that at the end of the message. But just want to share a few thoughts with you as we prepare for that. Exodus chapter 14. And I'd like for you to look with me there at verse number 13. And I'm going to read through verse 16. All right. So Exodus chapter number 14, verses 13 through 16. The Bible says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward." I want you to underline that in your Bible, that they go forward. Verse 16 says, "But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." Would you pray with me, please? Lord God Almighty, we are rejoicing tonight in your word. Lord, I lay hold of your word tonight. I believe it. I rest completely upon it. And I thank you for it. And I pray that it would do a work in my heart tonight and the heart of everyone listening. And I pray, Lord, as we go forward by faith, that you will help us to have a year that is truly marked by steps of faith that we never dreamed we could take. Oh God, only by your grace. So Lord, we commit this message and this night to you and to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. The title of tonight's message is Go Forward. Go Forward and goes with our message because it implies that the children of Israel go forward by faith. You may be familiar. I think most of you probably are familiar with our account here. The children are at the brink of crossing the Red Sea. And it was deep, by the way. It was over their heads. There was no just ankle-deep water here. It was a miracle that God would do before the children of Israel and also before the Egyptian army to show forth His great power and His great deliverance, which, by the way, is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that He provided for us by dying on the cross. He parted the way of sin so that we could have a way to God and to be reconciled to God. Notice with me here just a couple things as we look at this. As they're preparing to cross the Red Sea, I want to remind you that there was not just two or three Israelites. I want to tell you that it was probably up to 3 million Israelites. Did you hear that? 3 million. Hey, we don't know the exact number, but we know there were a lot of them. Now, they found themselves in a precarious spot. They had the devil chasing them, the Egyptian army, which Pharaoh is, I believe, a type of the devil. They had the devil behind them, chasing them, and they had the deep blue sea in front of them. They had the deep red sea in front of them. But nevertheless, they were put in a position that they were going to have to trust God. They were going to have to believe God for a miracle. Now, in this large group of nearly 3 million people, we know that there were two young men in this group. And I mentioned that I had an account to share with you about two young men that were definitely in this group, that would not forget this miracle that they were about to witness. Now, I will remind you that most were complaining at this point. Most of the 3 million people were saying, "Moses, you have brought us out here to be buried. You have brought us out here to die. We would have been better off just staying in Egypt." That was the overriding theme of the tone of the hearts of the children of Israel. Aren't you glad God is merciful, by the way? That He many times forgives us of our complaining and our lack of faith. I mean, I giggle sometimes, you know, just to keep from crying. But there are times that we really do just lack faith. And we start doubting God and we complain. But I want to tell you, friends, the Lord is merciful. And as He is here and Moses is leading the people of Israel, God, as we read there together, He tells them to fear not, to stand still, and to see the salvation of the Lord that He's going to show them that day. And I thank God for verse 14 that says, "The Lord shall fight for you." You ought to underline that in your Bible. The Lord shall fight for you. And that second phrase says, "And ye shall hold your peace." That, in other words, listen, it's not even necessary for you to say anything. You just walk by faith. God is going to open a way. He's going to make a way through the Red Sea. But back to this group, this large group. You got two young men there that have a different attitude than the rest of them. I mean, think about that. That's a lot of people, is it not? I mean, we're not just talking about just a few people. We're talking about over a million, several million people. But there were two here that were standing there looking at their leader, Moses. And they were believing God to do something miraculous. Now, I don't know much about these young men's parents. I do know the names of these two young men, and you've probably guessed it by now. They're probably around 35 years old at this point of getting ready to cross the Red Sea. Joshua and Caleb. You see, these two young men that were crossing with the rest of the millions there had a different aspect, had a different attitude upon what God was doing. How were they influenced in that way? What made the difference? I don't know all the details, but I don't know. In my imagination, I wonder if they didn't have a mom and dad who were full of faith, who influenced them as young boys to follow God no matter what, to keep their eyes on God. I mean, we got to remember these boys were in slavery all of their life. Up to the time that they were delivered from Egypt, they were slaves. They were in very hard and cruel environments every day of their life. They had a hard taskmaster, Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt. And I tell you, I wonder if maybe mom or dad would say sometimes, "Don't worry, boys, God is going to honor His word." I wonder if they just did not express a faith that God would eventually deliver them from the promise that was made to their forefathers, beginning with Abraham, that all the nations would be blessed and a Messiah would come and would deliver them. I wonder who influenced them along those lines. I'm not quite sure, but there was a difference in their hearts. And God blessed them for that. It was Joshua, the son of Nun, from the tribe of Ephraim. And it was Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the tribe of Judah. These young men would cross over, and they would cross over with everyone else. But they had to go forward by faith. And in verse 15, that's really where I wanted to draw your attention to the most tonight, is that when it came time to go, they were going to have to go forward. And when Moses lifted up the rod and the seas parted, they still had to make a choice to go forward. Because you can imagine, you see this miracle taking place, no telling how high these walls of water are. And as the Bible says, the ground was dry. It was not damp. It was not wet in any way. It was dry. Again, you got people like Thomas Jefferson who are going to cut out the miracles of the Bible. But listen, I believe in the God of miracles. The omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God who is transcendent, who is infinite and eternal, who is immutable, who is the Almighty God. And nothing is too hard for Him. And He parted the waters, He made the dry ground, and then they were required to go forward by faith. So, let's use our imaginations here. As these nearly 3 million people will act as if this spot right here between the pews is the Red Sea. They're starting to march their way forward. I don't know if you're going to be able to turn it all the way around, brother, but they're marching their way forward. And I don't know about y'all, but if I was in that group, Brother Brock, I would have been doing this the whole time. I mean, I'm going to be looking up at the waters and me of little faith, you know, most likely I'm going to be wondering, man, are these things could fall on us at any moment. By the way, you ever feel like that in your Christian life? You're in the midst. God has made a way. You're walking through. God has said, go forward. And you just like, maybe these waters are going to crash any moment. Can I tell you something right now? It gives me chills thinking about it. The waters are not going to crash. You keep walking forward by faith. Joshua and Caleb had a good attitude. The rest of them perhaps were complaining as they were going through. Hey, we're gonna die. We're going to be buried out here. But they found out the otherwise. They found out that God led them all the way through. He dropped the waters upon the evil army of the Egyptians, the wicked army, and did exactly what He said He would do. He honored His word and He delivered them. And their faith, as we see in this passage, will be evidenced in whether or not they will go forward. And they did go forward. But their faith was short-lived. It wasn't long at all before they got out of the deliverance of the Red Sea. They began complaining about the bitter waters and the lack of provisions. And they would go on complaining. And because of that, they would end up having to spend a lot of time in the wilderness. 40 years of wandering around in the wilderness. And I'm going to mention more of that here in just a moment. And when it came time for Moses to send 12 spies into the land of Canaan, why did he do that? Well, they were surveyors, if you will. They were going forward to see the land that God had promised them. So 12 spies went. They all came back. There were only two that came back with a good report. And you guessed it. Joshua, the son of Nun. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. They came back after seeing the grapes, the milk and the honey. They saw the land. They saw the high-walled cities. They saw the giants. They saw it all. And they came back with a report to Moses saying, Moses, we are well able to take the land. But the other 10 said, we are not able. The other 10 said, there's no way we can overcome those giants. There's no way we will be able to overcome them and to have victory and to conquer this land. It's going to be too hard. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. You never notice how a lot of times when we are going through a season of doubt, Satan has a way of truly magnifying or making it seem, the situation seem to be magnified. In other words, I wonder if there's just some exaggeration going on here. Not saying there weren't giants, because they were. But they just would not recognize the omnipotent hand of God wanting to lead them to the land of Canaan. They were simply going off only what they could see. But Joshua and Caleb were going off of what they could not see, the very fact that the future they could not see, but they believed God could do it. They believed the Lord could do it. And can I say the key element to faith is the element of the unseen. If you can see it, it's not faith. If you can see it, it's not faith. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Let's say it together. We walk by faith and not by sight. You see, we believe that God's Word is enough. As I said this morning, faith does not rely on what we see, but on what God says to His people and to His church. And can I say that you cannot outgrow faith? I don't care if you've been saved 50 years in this room tonight, you still need to grow in your faith. I need to grow in my faith as a pastor. I need to grow it as a Christian, as a father, as a daddy. I need to grow in my faith. And I'm asking God to do that in my life. I'm asking God to do it in your life. I'm thankful for what a great missionary of the past, Adoniram Judson, said when he was going through some of the hardest times of his life. And reaching lost souls in Burma, he said this when he was questioned about, why are you still at it? Why do you still go forward for God after being imprisoned and burying family members? Why do you still do what you do? You know what his response was? He says, the future is as bright as the promises of God. Amen. That's a bright future, folks, if you have faith in God. Faith is in self, I want to tell you, the future is not too bright. If your faith is in this country, your faith is not too bright. If your faith is in man in general, it's not too bright. We know, we're thankful when men do stand up and stand for righteousness and do us right. But folks, when it comes right down to it, men disappoint us. God never will. He will never change. He's perfect and holy and just and kind and benevolent. He's a righteous judge and a righteous Lord. And what I will say this, the more we live by faith, the more God is revealed to us and through us. I want to clarify something I said this morning. I mentioned the fact that, you know, you hear that statement, well, you just need to have more faith. And I said, well, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that statement. I don't think I clarified well enough on what I meant by that. I do believe we can increase in our faith. I believe our faith can grow. Of course I do. But what I mean by is there is sometimes a general statement made out there where you just need to have more faith. Well, is that just talking about positive thinking? Is that just talking about having faith in faith? My friends, what we need is we need to have more reliance and confidence in God. That's where we grow as Christians. We become more and more reliant upon the Lord God Almighty. You know, I think about going forward through the Red Sea, and I think about the fact of how God is going to use Joshua and Caleb in a mighty way. But sadly tonight, I'm not going to end on this, so don't worry. But I also remember, because of the children of Israel refusing to take God at His word, God says, all right, enough is enough. Look with me in the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers. You were there in Exodus. You can go on over to Leviticus and then the book of Numbers. Look at chapter 14. This is in reference to Joshua and Caleb having just a different spirit about them. Verse 24, he even makes recognition of, this is chapter 14, of Caleb having another spirit. He followed God fully. He relied upon the Lord fully. And he shall possess it. But then the congregation that continued to murmur and complain against God and God's will for them to go forward, they didn't want to go forward. Notice what it says, and I'm going to pick up in verse 28. It says here, "Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land." That's talking about the land of Canaan. "Concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save or except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey." Now, you hear even the Lord reminding them because of their lack of faith to protect their children. He says, "But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in. And they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness." And he goes on to say that they would wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And that was because that 40 days they spied out the land. It was 40 days it took them to spy out the land. And God says, "All right, I'm going to give you a year for every day that you were in the land." So he's saying that those 20 and above were not going to go because of their unbelief. And that verse is found even in, I don't have time to go to it tonight, but in Hebrews chapter 3, it actually makes the statement that they could not enter into the land of Canaan because of their unbelief. And church, we need to be reminded of that tonight. The things that God's got planned for you to do and the things God is doing in your life, you can limit God by your unbelief. And when I say limit, God is desiring to do a great work in your heart, in my heart. But if you refuse to believe Him, that's going to limit His work in your life. We don't want to limit God, do we, church? We don't want to limit what God desires to do through us. The African impala can jump to a height of over 10 feet and cover a distance of greater than 30 feet. Now, that's a big jump, folks. Yet, these magnificent creatures can be kept in an enclosure in any zoo with a 3-foot wall. The animals will not jump if they cannot see where their feet will fall. You see, faith is the ability to trust what we cannot see. And with faith, we are freed from the flimsy enclosures of life that only fear allows to entrap us. And a lot of times in local churches, just like this one, and many others, can be enclosed by the things of life, and we refuse to take those steps of faith just because we can't see how it's going to happen. And we live in defeat. But my friends, God's got better plans for us than that. We may not be able to see, but we go forward. A great missionary to China said this, Hudson Taylor. He said this very thing. He says, "I have found that there are 3 stages in every great work of God." He said, "First, it is impossible. Then, it is difficult. Then, it is done." And that man walked with God by faith. And I want to say, as we go forward in what I believe the Lord is leading our church to do. We go forward by faith.